Thank you, Kelly. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining our Q1 results call and your interest in the company. UBM has been doing well in the first 3 months of this year, and we continued to execute. Let us have a look at the highlights on slide 3. We had the expected slow start after a spectacular Q4 last year, which saw a number of transactions being closed. While earnings have been solid, this is reflected in a comparatively low total output, all in line with our guidance. Second, there is exciting news to be reported from the financing side by Patric in a minute. Third, our sales activities are making good progress, and I'm confident that our news flow in this respect will be a positive one over the next weeks. The same is true for our pipeline and new opportunities arising from our strong financial position. Finally, we can reconfirm our outlook to repeat the 2018 record year and see no change in the positive midterm perspective. Let me now hand over to Patric, who has the latest on the numbers.
Thank you, Thomas, and good morning, everybody, also from my side. I'm now on slide 4. We have guided a slow start in the year 2019 when we had our last call. Nevertheless, we could deliver solid earnings for Q1, only slightly below prior year level. But let's start with the top line. We generated a total output of 72 million in Q1 2019 compared to 220 million in the previous year. While Q1 2018 was a quarter where we predominantly focused on the reduction of standing assets at book value and freeing up cash, total output in this reporting period reflects the progress of construction on forward sold projects. Examples are the Holiday Inn in Gdansk or in Poland, or the Immergrün residential project in Berlin. Please bear in mind that the total output from hotel operations fell significantly in the first quarter due to the sale of a 50% stake in the UBM Hotels management company to a strategic partner last year. We can report solid earnings with EBT decreasing only slightly by 0.3 million to 7.9 million and net profit by 0.5 million to 5.9 million compared to Q1 2018. We recently acquired a number of new projects that are therefore still at an early stage, more precisely in the planning and approval phase. A good example for this is Sugar Palace in Prague, where we have acquired a project with a full building permit. In Q1, we made good progress in optimizing the project and, which is even more important, achieved an agreement with the Monumentum Protection Authorities, which will give us the room to transfer our ideas from paper into reality. This agreement, plus a new market indication, increased the value of the property, and therefore we had to adjust the book value under IFRS 40. On top of that, we are reaping the fruits from our Next Level Efficiency Program, which will show its full effect in 2019, then the envisaged potential of 12 million will be generated. With the cost side in mind and knowing about the good progress we made in Q1 when it comes to sales negotiations, and Thomas will give the details on that in a few minutes, we have good visibility on the future earnings of the year. We are well on track reaching our guidance, and when it comes to potential upside, the situation is unchanged to what was said in the full year numbers call. Real estate prices might increase further, especially fueled by the lack of alternatives and increasing rents, an effect which is not reflected in our internal planning. Zloty is still on the rather weak side with the potential of getting stronger in the course of the year. Tax rate could be more favorable this year compared to last year, as the composition of the earnings is planned to be different. But now back from the future perspective to our actual current figures. Let's turn to slide number 5, where I will give you some details on our current financial position. In the full year presentation, we proudly presented the strongest financial ever in UBM's history. This chart is a repetition if you want, because in Q1 there is barely any news flow in this respect, apart from the successful tapping of our 75 million euro bond issues last autumn. We definitely prefer to repeatedly underline to be conservative when it comes to our business approach instead of surprises. Looking at our balance sheet, we focus on stability and risk awareness with four key elements. Strong equity, shortening the balance sheet wherever possible, control over net debt, and the smoothening of the repayment structure. And that's the status quo. Our equity ratio totaled exactly 35% at the end of the reporting period, the upper end of our targeted range of 30 to 35%. Net debt remained under control, LTV increased slightly to 37%, which is still rather low for a pure-play developer. Despite our strong investments in Q4 last year, balance sheet and liquidity gives us the flexibility to act quickly when it comes to possible acquisitions or strategic moves. Talking about liquidity at hand and the upcoming repayment of one of our bonds in summer 2019, I have good news. We are in the process of tapping our 5-year 3.18 bond issued in November 2018 with a volume of 45 million. That further improves our flexibility when it comes to capital market windows, as we can act even more independently than ever. If we wanted to, from today's perspective, we could refinance ourselves just by project completions. Our strong financials and our capital market access is a huge competitive advantage compared to other developers. Other developers can't obtain capital market refinancing at these conditions. An example for this is the bond tap with a spread of 250 basis points, which gives you a yield of 240 basis points. Non-listed developers have to refinance themselves with expensive mezzanine capital, often with interest rates north of 10%, even in this market environment. But also some other stock market listed developers with a weaker balance sheet and a shorter track record have to pay way more when refinancing themselves. It goes without saying that this advantage makes our projects more profitable and project acquisitions easier. Let me now hand back to Thomas to give the promised details on our future sales activities.
Yes, and you find them on slide 6. As mentioned at the beginning of this call, let me update you on the good progress which we are making regarding transactions. For this purpose, I would like to do so by distinguishing three kinds of transactions, which we shall see in this year. Project completions, trade sales, and forward sales. We shall see the grand opening of our Holiday Inn in Gdansk at the end of June, in time, on budget, and, saying almost like a proud father, a beauty at the waterfront of the Gdansk harbor. This project has been forward sold to Union Investment back in 2017 and reaffirms our strong ties with Union and Intercontinental Hotels Group, IHG. In the second half of this year, we are going to hand over the Holiday Inn and Super 8 twin hotels in Hamburg and a number of residential projects. All is running according to plan. And this is also true for our trade sale activities. In the case of Munich, the opportunity opened through the acquisition of the Bauberger Straße mega project, which is the 3-hectare logistics plot in the west within Munich's city borders. With too much long-term development areas in the Munich area, we decided to trade Dornach, which is outside the Munich city borders, a very nice plot close to the former airport in Riem. We have shortlisted potential buyers for our Dornach land plot and are currently in the process of selecting a buyer with whom we start exclusive contract negotiations. This means that the buyer starts his standard due diligence process and the sales and purchase agreement is drafted. Exclusivity has also been granted to a potential buyer for the two Disney hotels near Paris, which we hold together with Weinpex. We keep you posted on the progress. Finally, our more recent projects reach a stage where they are becoming suitable for forward structures. This is particularly true for our currently largest office project in the Quartier Belvedere Central, QBC, with 36,000 square meters of lettable office space and the underground parking for the entire development. For those of you who read our press releases diligently, it is no new information that half of the space is rented out already, and we received a number of unsolicited offers by buyers. Let me remind you, this is more than 1.5 years ahead of completion. Finally, 5 hotels from our pipeline will reach a stage where we can start thinking about forward sales structures in the second half of this year. Again, our forward sales structure and forward sales strategy is to be seen as a kind of hedge in case of our interest rate and overall economic scenario turning out to be wrong, which we don't expect. Let's turn to slide 7. We see very little statistical evidence that the tailwind for our industry weakens. Perception, of course, is a different story. Perception, however, is not reality. Let me illustrate what I mean along our three asset classes by explaining the graph, or rather the graphs, on the slide. Due to the high public profile which comes with the big bang opening of a large-scale hotel, many people ask themselves if the market is not getting saturated. Well, looking at the growth of hotel rooms in Berlin and Vienna, we can see a widening gap since 2011 regarding room nights growth and room nights demand. And it is even increasing until 2023. This is primarily a function of the megatrend city tourism. However, there is also a significant number of privately operated hotels and bed and breakfast places which go out of business or are refurbished to apartments. The reason for it is the growing dominance of the big reservation engines owned by the major hotel chains and Airbnb. I've mentioned that several times in the past. The other prejudice we are often confronted with is the lack of affordability of apartments. This is only intuitive at first sight, or in other words, looking at the purchase price development. No doubt, purchase prices have risen significantly across Germany and Austria. The average price in Germany, where we have the only reliable statistical data, was some 40%, 40% on average. Affordability, however, is made up by two more elements, financing costs and household income. Financing costs for a 20-year loan have come down by more than half from 5.1% to 2.3% within a bracket of 10 years. And even if it does not always feel like it, household incomes have increased by almost 20% over the same period. This leads to the interesting result that the cost of living, measured in household income multiples over a 20-year financing horizon, did not increase on average. There are exceptions like Munich, where the cost of living has indeed increased significantly, but the same is true in the other direction for cities like Düsseldorf. There is, by the way, a detailed backup slide on this on page number 15. But let's stick to this slide. The biggest perception trap, if you want, in which the entire industry, by the way, fell, was the notion that less and less people would work in an office in the future. Think of buzzwords like work from home, home office, hot desking, or mobile working. Again, statistical evidence speaks another language. The employment numbers are growing, and so is the take-up of office space. The reason for it lies in the workspace also becoming a social space, or probably it has always been a social space. Human beings simply depend on human interaction. This is particularly true during working hours. And for some, it might be understandable that the interaction cannot be restricted to family members. On top of it, the workplace turns more and more into a place for recreation, contemplation, and whatever else. In a modern office today, you do not only find a gym or at least a ping pong table, you find vast cafeterias, places to lean back and think without disturbance, and public areas to informally convene. In summary, statistical evidence is not supporting perception, but rather the contrary. Now, looking at slide 8, it does not come as a surprise that we are not getting tired pointing out our 1.8 billion euro pipeline, which we were able to sustain despite major sales in the last year. From many talks with you, however, we are not certain if you are aware of another fact in connection with our pipeline. It only includes the next 3.5 years. Everything beyond this horizon is not included in the 1.8 billion euros. And we are not talking small projects. The mega project in Munich, which I have mentioned before, and that we've acquired at the end of last year, is expected to take up to 4 years of rezoning and is therefore not included. And the same is true for the majority of the 28 properties which we have acquired from Bank Austria and which are either swapped with properties belonging to the city of Vienna or developed in the midterm. This brings me to the last slide of our formal presentation, the outlook. Regarding 2019, no change in guidance. We plan to repeat our record year 2018, and this means we plan to deliver 55 million euros before tax and 40 million euros after tax. But let me also try to look beyond the current financial year. Our number one goal is the sustainability and continuity of our earnings. While we are all aware of the prejudices about the business model built on projects, a glimpse into the last 10 year helps, a very sustainable development coined by continuity. The other objective, of course, is the reliability of our profits. This is all about our forward sales and down payment strategy. It is designed to ensure our profitability also in times of changing market conditions. And again, we do not expect this to happen in the next 2-3 years minimum, and that's as far as we dare to look out into the future. It is a pure hedging strategy. Finally, one of the regularly asked questions is on steady income streams, particularly as we continue our positioning as pure play developer. In this context, we are always informing you about the stable contributions coming from our hotel lease business. This steady income stream will be continuously grown from the current level of 14 hotels to 25 hotels as we complete the current pipeline. However, our strategic discussions at the moment also circle around expanding our steady income streams beyond. While we have nothing concrete to report right now, we promise to keep you also posted in this respect. Well, thank you for your attention. We are now looking forward to answering your questions. May I open the lines for your questions and hand back to our operator, Gally.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. The first question is from the line of Christine Ritzamer with Baader Bank. Please go ahead.
Hello, Thomas. Hello, Patrick. Very nice to hear you again. I have three questions. The first one is about the pipeline. Is it only my impression, or did that tilt more towards residential over the last 12 months? And can you, if that is the case, can you just give me a, specific driver behind that? Is it an active choice where you approached by more interesting projects in more on the residential parts? And then connected to the pipeline, is the 1.8 billion now the full capacity for you now? Would you feel also relaxed to increase that a bit more over the next 3 years, if that's possible? That's the first one around the pipeline.
Well, and Christina, first, it's Let me answer it one by one. It's very good to hear you. And of course, almost out of a tradition, and I hope that Stefan is on the line and understands this. We have ladies first principle, and so it's your turn. Well, the residential pipeline, as you can see, is making up 43% of the total, which has indeed increased. And this is the result of basically three facts. Number one, we were for a long time working on a different scenario, which is a scenario whereby interest rates would increase in the second half of 2019. And therefore, we built the pipeline for a very long period pretty defensively. Okay. And of course, residential is always defensive. Number one reason. Number two reason is there is not too much difference anymore between residential development and, say, office development because we start selling residential developments also to institutional investors. Okay, we've done so in Thule Straße in Berlin. Okay, we've sold 150 apartments, and I guess we see more of such bulk sales to institutional investors going forward. And number three is exactly what I've described on the conference call, which is the trap into which we all fell, and that is a long time ago, but you see from the lead times what happens. And this is that we all believed that nobody's actually going to work in an office, and so there will be an abundance of office space becoming available. And as we also tried to explain, this is incorrect. And so currently we are underweight in office and we have to do something about it, but it cannot be done quickly.
Okay.
The 1B question, and you see how delighted I am to answer all your questions, is the full capacity. Well, as Patrick pointed out, there is a reason why we take up another 45 million from the tapping. Okay, we could have left the bond at the 75 million and not increased it to 120 million. And the reason is because we want to be able to go beyond the 1.8 billion mark, and kind of, you know, our target mark is more towards the 2 billion. But we are struggling to do so because it's not easy to obtain new projects within the parameters that we have set ourselves. And as you know, we like to walk the talk and not tell you how stringent we are in executing our parameters and then not do it.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you. Then the second question relates to the margins. Pretty strong quarter. And you already said that there were no disposals out of the legacy assets. So you had... My question is now, is that an exceptional quarter or is that a normal quarter for a quarter where you really sell projects at currently quite attractive margins?
I mean, from a margin point of view, I would say it's an exceptional quarter because we didn't have too much in terms of top line or total output. And then we had the IFRS I have mentioned when I was talking about the result, the EBT in Praha, where we had to increase the value of the project as something significantly has happened and we got permissions to do what we wanted to do in terms of increasing the margin of this particular project. So the margins you are seeing there that is artificially high, I have to admit it will be lower over the year.
Okay. And the last question, the legacy assets, what's your planned disposals for this year?
Relating to Well, we are more cautious regarding the standing assets of approximately 350 million book value. The reason for it is not that we are hesitant to sell them down. The reason is more that we have co-owners and we are not free to decide by ourselves. Best example is the Kempinski on the Ring Road in Vienna, the Hansen Kempinski. It is at equity, and you can see that the at equity number is significantly higher than the fully consolidated number of our standing assets if you have a look at slide 29. Here Wiener Städtische Insurance has a more than 50% stake. And I let myself be convinced that there will be a buyer who accepts an exceptionally high price because it's like a crown jewel asset. And you find buyers that are exactly looking for such a beachfront property. But you've got to be patient and you can't plan it. Okay? We have a similar situation with a plot where we are discussing regularly, is this a plot which puts us in the best position for future city developments, quarter developments in Vienna, which is a cinema and office complex in Wien Mitte, okay, next to the RBI headquarters. And we want to safeguard this opportunity. And besides, we are again not free because we have a 20% co-owner, which is Raiffeisen Bank International, and they want to stay tenants in this building. And so we are not free. The issue where I have no excuse is the Polecki Business Park in Poland, okay, which is a book value of roughly 175 million euros. We are pretty confident that the market situation, or I should rather say the political situation in Poland, is less of a concern for international investors. And you have to probably go for international investors because of the size of the project. So bottom line, we want to sell down. We believe that our standing assets portfolio, half of what it is today, would be more than sufficient. But it's not going like in the past where we could sell down 150 million last year without basically having to ask somebody else, just negotiating it with sellers.
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Thomas. Very clear.
The next question is from the line of Stefan Scharf with SRC Research. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Thomas. First of all, of course, I understand everything what you say and do, of course. My question is about your P&L. You reported a slight loss in share of profit and loss from companies accounted for at equity. Perhaps you can give us a bit more information on that.
Sure, it will be Patrick, but I'm grateful that you have this understanding and understand my kind of gentleman approach to questions.
Yeah,
but back to Patrick.
Yeah. Stefan, good question on this one. I mean, I have a little bit. First of all, I have to start with last year. In the last year, we had the especially Zalando in this one, and with Zalando POC. The contribution were coming from this angle, and it covered a bit that normally in the first quarter you always have a slow start in the hotel area. In this year, we didn't have anything like Zalando or a big POC project yet in the equity arena. So what you are basically seeing there is the slow start from the hotels, which is a seasonality, which is every year there. But normally it is covered by something else, and this year there is no coverage for that, and this is the reason why it is negative.
Okay. Perhaps you can say a little bit more about your hotel operations and the good revenues you have from this business here. This should also grow with some more completions to follow in the coming years. And do you have any plans here? How to exceed this business or expand this business?
Yes, I've mentioned it briefly in the call already. We are currently holding at 14 leasehold hotels. That will increase to 15 next month as we take on Gdansk. And if we were completely free, all of the other 15 hotels. We would like to operate, okay? Maybe with the exception of the five-star hotels, because five-star hotels, usually you have a different system, and also from the operator side, it's looked at differently. However, it has developed as a business of its own, and there are a number of professional hotel leasehold companies. And sometimes if we get the new project and it's provided by a partner, this partner brings such a professional leasehold company, which makes us dare to give a forecast that we will grow our business from 14 to 25 over the midterm. That is at least what we are planning, which would add 11 out of 16 hotels, which is quite optimistic because the rate in the past has been that we do a leasehold structure for every second hotel only, or that we are able to do a leasehold structure only for every second hotel.
Okay. Hold
on a second, because I want to add something, Stefan. Because what you have to see there as well is that the things have changed a little bit, as we have a partner in this kind of business now, a 50% partner. So the results from the business will look a bit different. And that has also to do with the fact that many things we have done in the past ourselves, we still do ourselves. And what is changing now is that we're charging that into this company instead of having the right result in the company. So in the future, it will be a little bit more difficult for you to figure out how it is going. Or we have to explain that more properly. So please keep this one also in mind.
So a part of these revenues will come to more to the top line of your P&L?
No. It's the opposite. You will find that in the total output and less in the top line because they add equity.
Okay. And is there a new status or something to say about the French hotels, the Paris hotels, which you own together with Vantex?
Yes. Again, as mentioned, we are in exclusive negotiations. But until the ink is dried and the money is on the escrow account, a lot of things can happen. We are very optimistic. The negotiations are running smoothly. And I've met Franz Jurkovic yesterday, and we've aligned ourselves that this is all we can say, but this is also what we want to give as information.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure.
The next question is from the line of Julius Dinauer with Hauck & Aufhäuser. Please go ahead.
Hi from Hamburg. So I wonder how the cost of debt has changed after you are tapping the corporate bond. What do you expect for 2019 for the cost of debt?
You mean overall?
Yes, overall.
Okay. So, I mean, the 45 million is not big enough in order to have a very big impact on the total cost of debt. You find the total cost of debt we currently have on page 41. It's 3.4%. What will happen at half year is roughly that we are giving back the 91 million on the bond, which has a higher cost of debt, obviously. So over the year, I would say it will stay at that level or can even decrease a bit.
So, but rather a slight decrease, not a significant one. So
no, the number is too big, the bond number. You know,
because
we have 435 million bonds out. That will. So there is an effect, but it won't be that much that I'm saying that is significantly decreasing. It will decrease a bit.
Okay. And I have a second question on the guidance, because you're on many properties. You see a higher income and also lots of potential. So when would you increase the guidance?
it is an interesting question, because if we wanted to increase the guidance, we would have done so. Of course, and it must work in both directions, as we've always mentioned, as visibility increases, we will also give you a better understanding of the guidance, and should there be an upside, we will definitely mention it. A logical point in time would be end of August when we meet again, but be aware, we said it's a slow start, and a slow start, is more for the first half, and that will be caught up in the second half, so I need to caution you. We are always trying to be realistic, as you've heard from Patrick's guidance on interest cost, and therefore are at the moment feeling most comfortable with telling you it is a record year repeat rather than anything else.
Okay, thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone. The next question is from the line of Christian Bader with RCB. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Three groups of questions, please. First of all, if I look on your slide number six regarding your sales activities, would it be possible to tell us which of these completions or trade sales will be revenue effective, and which kind of let's say revenue can we expect from all these projects? That's the first group of my questions.
Okay, that's easily answered because the Dornach property is fully consolidated, so the sale of the Dornach property will have full effect on the top line, on the revenue line.
Okay.
Of course, with the Holiday Inn Gdansk, the same is true, and the Super 8 is at equity, so you won't see it in the top line, okay? And the residential projects, which are percentage of completion anyway, are all reflected in the revenue line. I shouldn't say top line because our top line is total output. And then, of course, with the QVC, okay, 1 and 2, we have it at equity. We have that was a lapsus. We have S-IMO as a partner there, and so you don't see it in the revenue line, but you see always everything in the total output line.
Okay, good. Regarding your P&L, is it possible to quantify the cash interest cost and the cash interest income, please?
Yes, of course, because that can be seen in the cash flow statement. If you would go on this page,
I look it up. It's also in the
bridge.
In the bridge, yeah.
So what we
39
is the bridge. What we currently are paying in terms of interest, and that has to do obviously with the seasonality of the bonds, that is roughly the 1.3 million. Let me remind you that everything we pay for the hybrid, that is under dividend. So you
okay.
Find that in the 7.3 million.
Okay.
And that is basically what you see in terms of interest payments. Yeah, yeah. That is a netted number, the 1.3. So a number coming out of interest payments and receiving back interests we are getting.
Okay. But it appears usual, unusually low. Just a 1.3 million.
Yeah, as I said, because we are paying the bonds half year or in the fourth quarter normally, so this
okay.
Number will largely be different in every quarter. If you see that on a full year perspective, that
yeah.
Gives you a better idea. And if we have that on the full year perspective, we had last year in 2018 the payment into interest was 16.3 on a net side, so that is a very different number, as I pointed
okay,
out.
Right. Okay, good. And final question, would it be possible to get an idea, or let's say at least a close range where you expect net debt to be at the year end?
Well, That depends a bit on opportunities we might get along or across this year. Where we are committed to is rather our LTV number. So what we are currently saying is we are at the 37%, as pointed out. We don't want to be see there more than 50%. That gives you 13 percentage points. So there is quite some room in order to get new projects on board. But as I said, currently the visibility on this one is not that one should talk about projects which are not yet to be acquired. And if we see these opportunities, that will for sure increase our net debt number. But I think we are in a good position to do so because it's good under control.
Christian, let me jump in here as well. Okay. It would be much easier for you guys, I understand, if we said, you know, we want half a billion of net debt and that's it. But it would be wrong because, as Patrick pointed out, it could very well be that in the second quarter, okay, one of the projects we are chasing is closing, and we buy it, and there could be only an income generated by the sale of Dornach or Disney or whatever in the third quarter, and that is very likely. And then it would be wrong because for a quarter we would break through this ceiling, which is artificial. I think and hope that we've built enough trust that you know that net debt control is always at the top of our mind, and we don't want to be back in a situation which we have seen in 2016 ever.
Okay, may I ask the question differently? What is your, let's say, what is your investment budget for the full year?
That's also a tough one. As we said, we would be prepared to grow our pipeline to 2 billion, okay? Which would mean that there is an increase possible. We don't have a firm investment budget like a production industry, because on top of what we have on board, okay, we must be fast, as we were in the case of the Munich property, to buy it. And while we've agreed that the Munich property's purchase price is not going to be given, I can tell you it's a high double-digit million number. So that can change things pretty quickly. However, we always try to balance it out with the income that we are generating. And the land plot in Dornach is significant. It's 60,000 square meters of developable space there. Okay, just to give you a notion. And the Disney hotels, for those who have seen them, they also don't come cheaply. So there are significant numbers up and down, but overall, okay, we try to keep a discipline on the net debt level, because we fully appreciate, and actually always said so from the beginning, we don't want to see a net debt discount with UBM ever again.
Okay, thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions at this time. I hand back to Thomas Winkler for closing comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Gally. Thanks, everybody, for staying with us for almost 45 minutes or longer for those who dialed in early. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys again on the one or other conference or whenever we roadshow, and have a nice day.